everyone. I'm Susie Sevier.
And I'm Michael Barnhart. Welcome to the Adventures of a Real Estate Investor podcast, where we interview industry experts and chat with them about their passions and how they are leveraging real estate investing to create an impact in their world. What impact do you want to make?
Did you know there are almost 8 billion people on this planet? What if each of us started with ourselves, with our family, in our community? All we have to do is start with a manageable 1% action every day. The effect of those billions of 1% gestures would be astronomical. This is your place to reflect and believe. Join us every week to start cultivating those ideas on the impact that you want to make in your world.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Adventures of a Real Estate Investor. I'm Susie.
And I'm Michael, and we're excited you joined us for this adventure. So today is a very, very special episode.
Why?
Because it is episode 100. So yeah, it's been a journey. It's been incredible to have 100 different interviews. Well, 100 after this episode. So today is special as well because we have 6 of our partners on this podcast as well.
Yes.
Yeah. And so what we're doing, what's special about this episode is what we're going to do is we're going to host like a partnership panel because this episode is all about partnerships and why they are important in real estate investing, especially multifamily real estate investing. We could not be where we are right now in our real estate investing journey without the people on this call right now. So thank you all for joining us. We're really excited to get into this little partnership panel.
Yeah.
And thank you for your partnerships and your friendships along the way as well. So what I'd like to do first to introduce the panel members is kind of go around the horn here. And we're going to start with Chelsea Garber. And she was originally on episode 44. So if you want to learn all about Chelsea Garber, a little more detailed bio about her, please go listen to episode 44. You can learn all about Chelsea and an amazing episode there. But in the meantime, Chelsea, would you mind spending a little bit of time just briefly introducing yourself and what kind of you bring in a partnership role?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first and foremost, thank you, Michael, Susie, and friends and partners here today. I'm excited to be with you guys. A little bit quick bio of myself. My name is Chelsea Garber. I am the founder of Ascend Equity. I'm a full-time real estate investor, syndicator, and entrepreneur, and I have extensive knowledge in design, architecture, construction, and project management. I currently own and operate 286 units amongst 4 communities between Ohio and Oklahoma. And I really have been focused on acquiring value-add commercial apartment buildings to help others gain financial freedoms through passive real estate investments. I'm incredibly driven with a design and aesthetic driven approach. And my philosophy is to not only beautify the local surroundings, but elevate the quality of life for the community and its residents, and in turn, provide solid returns for our investors and partners. I'm the founder of ROI by Design, a commercial value enhancing design and remodeling firm. And we are really tailor our projects to CMB class multifamily investment properties. I am born and raised in New York, currently live in Park City, Utah, big mountain skier, equestrian jumper, and I love living what I call a 5-star life. And 5-star life includes having 5-star partners.
I love that.
I appreciate that.
Thank you so much for sharing, Chelsea. Thank you and welcome to the show. Let's see what we have next here. Marcus Long. So Marcus was on episode 7. So all the way back at the beginning and episode 98. So if you learn more about Marcus, a deep dive into his bio, go to listen to episode 7. And then 98, he talks about his transition out of his W-2 and being a full-time real estate investor now. But Marcus, would you mind sharing a little bit about your background now?
Yeah, thanks guys. Appreciate you having us on tonight. And if you've heard episode 7 or 98, you'll know that I am super excited to let you know that I'm still happily married to my bride, Amy. And a proud father to our 8-year-old Layla and a 5-year-old Jackson. And recently, as Michael mentioned, have transitioned out of the military after 21 years in November of this past year. And so while I've had real estate investments of various natures for probably about 18 years, you know, as I approached that transition and, you know, what life after the military looked like, both for my family and designing how we wanted life to look like as a family, as well as, you know, how I would kind of serve others. Real estate kind of filled that role. And so in December of 2020, you know, I kicked off a long legacy, and by pouring into that and with the partners, some of which, many of which are on this call tonight, you know, that kind of allowed me to walk away last year without seeking like another W-2, right? And so that was pretty awesome for me. And kind of that goes into the roles that I play, both my desire to educate and to kind of serve others and bring these opportunities. You know, I've been able to do a lot of capital raising and share these opportunities with my friends, as well as like the impact we have with, you know, residents and stuff. So I've also had the, you know, ability to asset manage a few of the properties as well.
Love it. Thank you so much for sharing, Marcus. I'm glad to have you on the panel as well. I'm excited. So next up, we have Camilla Jeffs. Camilla was on episode number 6. So if you learn more about Camilla and her deep dive in her background as well, please go listen to episode 6. But in the meantime, Camilla, would you mind sharing with our adventurous family a little bit more about your background now? And what kind of, what do you bring to a partnership?
Yeah. So first off, congrats on the 100th episode. That's a pretty awesome achievement. So I'm so excited for both of you and the hard work that you put into this. But yes, so I'm Camilla Jeffs and a longtime real estate investor. So I've been investing for 20 years, spent the first 15 DIYing, not a recommended way to go. And then learned about how to partner and overcame that mindset block that I had about partnering, about, you know, that, you know, controlling every little aspect of the deal. So it's been amazing these last 5 years to pivot into investing as a group. Group investing is what I call it. And I launched Steady Stream Investments in 2019 as a passive investor education company. And what I bring to partnerships is I bring a lot of education for passive investors, and I help them understand all the ins and outs and where to go, how to get into an investment, how to vet partners, vet deals, vet markets, all of those things. And then I join on the asset management team on the back end, because I did have my own property management company when I was DIYing. And I just love partnering with others. It's been amazing to see the growth that has happened from actually stepping into partnering. I've done more in 5 years than I did in those first 15, and it's been pretty awesome.
Thank you so much for sharing. And we're excited to have you on the panel and excited to have you back as well. Cliff. So Cliff Luber is up next here. Cliff was on episode 41. So if you want to learn more about Cliff, please go listen to the episode. It is an amazing episode. But in the meantime, Cliff, would you mind sharing with our adventurous family a little bit more about your background and what you bring to partnerships as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, guys. Yeah, I'm Cliff Luber. I just transitioned out of the Navy a couple of weeks ago. I now work full-time for a defense tech company in the Washington, D.C. area. I've been doing real estate part-time for the last 3.5 years. And as soon as I got started, realized that commercial was probably the better route to go, partially because of the ability to leverage partnerships to help, you know, have greater success, and since then I've partnered with obviously almost everyone on this Zoom call and then on multifamily deals, but then I've also done RV parks and short-term rentals as well, all with partnerships. And I was just thinking about it actually while Camilla was talking, and I've closed on 11 commercial properties and 6 single family. And only one of those I bought by myself. And that was just my single family home with my VA loan. Everything else, including the single families, has been with partners. That's because it's very hard to do anything alone. And a lot of us met each other. I know that met Michael and Susie and Marcus here all through a military mastermind group. And I think we kind of come up in the military not really doing a single thing on our own. So it's just kind of part of the cloth that we're cut from. And so it just made sense to take that idea and do it in real estate as well. As far as what I help teams do, I have a pretty strong bias towards action. So whether it's being a utility man, just helping get things closed, or just remembering the million things that need to get done after closing and just letting that bother me to the point where I bring it up to everyone else. And we're raising our investor relations. That's kind of what I help add value across the board to the partnerships that I'm a part of.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for sharing, Cliff. Glad to have you as a partner, as always. So next we have Jonathan and Paula Nichols. So Jonathan and Paula are a married duo, and they are an amazing couple, power couple, if you will. And they were on episode 43. So if you want to learn more about them and their journey as well in real estate investing and all their short-term rentals that they have as well, please go check out that episode 43. But Jonathan, Paula, would you mind sharing a little bit about your background and what you bring to partnerships as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So Michael said, I'm Jonathan. My wife, Paula, is here too. And together we have a company, Apogee Capital, to do multifamily syndications. So my background is working as an aerospace engineer. I graduated university with a degree in aerospace engineering and worked for about 8 or 9 years full time in that industry. And about almost six years ago, Paula and I got married, and she informed me that we needed to have a hobby together. And lo and behold, we wound up doing real estate investing. And so we started out in the residential world, buying residential properties and doing short-term rental with those properties, and built up a portfolio of residential properties that we still own and have the short-term rentals with. But then realized we want to do something bigger, and realized we want to do something where we could allow others to join us. So we had a lot of friends and family who wanted to invest in real estate, but they didn't want to do anything. And so for us, syndication was the perfect solution to something that would both allow us to scale and allow us to help our friends and family. And so I'm a full-time investor now, and Paula may want to share a little more about her background. So I'll let her jump in so I don't mess that up.
Hi, everyone. Michael, Zinzi, thanks for having us and thanks for being amazing partners. Yes, my background is in finance and management consulting prior to jumping into real estate. I'm actually currently still working at W2 specifically for real estate development. So I've learned a lot in that area. And I hope to leverage that knowledge in the future of our company and future partnerships. Better focus is in multifamily syndication, and I get to leverage a lot of the management consulting skills as well as financial modeling and capital raising when it comes to real estate. So,
awesome. Thank you, Jonathan and Paula, for sharing. Appreciate that. And welcome to the panel. We're glad to have you on again. All right. So what we're going to do now, on the panel of eight, Susie and I have now introduced themselves. What I'd like to do is, since this panel is focused on partnerships, this whole episode is focused on partnerships and the importance of them, what I'd like to do is then ask some questions and then kind of just riff off of that narrow. And so the first question I have for the panel is, why are partnerships so important in real estate investing? Marcus?
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's probably true in any real estate strategies. There's numerous of them, but specifically in commercial real estate, it truly is a team sport, right? There's like a number of different roles when you think about commercial real estate specifically, about the, you know, acquisitions and the underwriting and, you know, capital raising and asset management. And I think that, you know, each one of us on this call we have different interests, we have different skill sets, different strengths. And while I think it's important for us as general partners, particularly bring in like passive investors, to have an understanding of all of those roles, that we should really like pour into what our strengths and interests are. And that's where we're going to perform the best, right? And so it's important to have that understanding, like, you know, find other partners that complement our own and have strengths in some of those other areas.
Absolutely. And I couldn't agree more with you, Marcus, because it is difficult to do everything all at once, right? And you said, find a niche that you're really good at and stick to that, and find people who can fill in everything else. Camilla, did you have something to add?
Yeah. When I was like looking at pivoting from single family to large multifamily, and I wanted to buy this apartment complex, but I realized pretty quickly I actually could not buy it on my own, like literally could not, because I couldn't get a loan for it. Because on the loan, there are very, you know, there's interesting restrictions on being able to get a loan. Because they want to see, well, of course, they want you to have net worth that equals the loan amount. Well, if you're buying a multi-million dollar apartment complex, if you don't have that net worth, what are you going to do? Well, you got to bring a partner in to do that, right? But then the other interesting one was the experience factor. They want you to have experience in large multifamily. Well, I have experience in running a lot of real estate investments, but they would not give me the loan because I don't have experience in a big multifamily project. And I was like, well, how are you even supposed to get the loan? They're like, well, you already have to have experience. And so it's like, well, wait a minute. How are you ever supposed to break into this industry? And the answer is partnerships, right? If you want into this industry and you want to be an active investor in this, you have to formulate those partnerships. And that was when I was like, oh no, really? I got to go like talk to people, meet people. But it actually turned into a pretty amazing thing to partner with others and allow the success of others to help you, to lift you up as well. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. One thing that I really love about partnerships too, you know, like with the collaboration and all of like the creativity, you know, that comes from even with this group, right? It'd be like eight different minds that can come up with a solution for a problem. Like that's one of my favorite parts because it's endless when, you know, everybody has a spot at the table and everybody gets to have a voice to be able to come up with a solution. Because more often than not, when you have that many people, a solution can be found. And like, that's amazing as well, right? Because you're like, oh, wow, I would have never thought about that, but my amazing partner did.
So that's cool. Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And like Marcus and Camilla both said, right, there's so many different roles that you have to fulfill in order to close a multifamily deal. You have acquisitions, you know, you have underwriting, finding deals, meeting with brokers, things like that. You also have the capital raising piece, right? You have to have all those relationships with investors unless you have a big wad of cash sitting around to do that. And like Camilla
said,
one day. Right. But like, and what Camilla said as well is like, you have to have the net worth and the liquidity to cover the amount that the bank requires in order for you to take on that significant loan, right? Multi-million dollar loan. And then you have to add the experience piece as well. And then in addition to that, you have to understand how to asset manage, right? You have to carry the deal through this business plan and then go through a disposition or sale of the property at the end. So there's a lot of moving pieces. It's very difficult for one person to do it alone. And it, like Camilla said, it's like almost impossible to break into the industry if you don't have a partner to begin with, for sure. So the second question I have for the panel is, how do you seek out and find partnerships in this industry?
I'll answer that one. So I actually get asked this question a lot when I'm talking to people who are new to investing. You know, they'll ask me, well, how did you find your partners? And myself and several of us in here are involved with different either coaching programs or mentorship programs. And so some people automatically assume that through one of those programs, you know, maybe I found the partners. But actually, my relationship with Michael and Susie began very organically. We met in a networking event in a conference and then just kind of became friends through regular meetups and stuff from there that we would see. And so I think that one mistake people often make is trying to force partnerships instead of just kind of letting relationships organically grow. And then as you see where your interests are aligning, where your values are aligning, then, you know, taking advantage of that and leveraging those relationships to do a multifamily deal. So I would say, you know, very organically is the best way to develop partnerships.
Yeah. Thanks, Jonathan. I love that answer because I feel like we see it all too often where people barely know each other and then they hop in to a deal, right? And a multifamily deal sometimes I consider it's very similar to a marriage, right? I mean, it is a long process. You know, it could be 5, 7, 10 years for the whole business plan to be carried out. And that's a long time to spend with those partners, right? I mean, if you don't know them, like you're saying, Jonathan, like if you haven't built an organic relationship with them, understand them, know them beforehand, before, you know, jumping in bed with them, if you will, then it can be dangerous. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I could add to that too, kind of bring us back to the first question is, I think a lot of us in this room today got started in or around the same time, and we were all actively seeking investment opportunities and seeking partnerships. And so there's natural fit, people that you're attracted to on a personality level, and you have the same beliefs. And I think it really comes back to, it's an interview process, right? You want to get to know somebody and understand like, what is their why? What is their big picture? And make sure not only like your short-term goals are aligned, but your long-term goals. And a lot of it, for better or for worse, is just like trial and error, because you don't really know until you get into a deal with somebody and you really learn what is their work ethic, what is their form of communication. And you start to see, okay, like these are my strengths, these are my weaknesses. Is this the type of person I want to partner with? We're all here today because we like each other as partners, right? And we'd probably partner with each other again. But that's not always the case. I think I can say it for myself with partnerships and for other people. It's, you're going to be with these folks for a minimum of 3 to 5 years. And you really want to get to know somebody. Like Michael said, it really is a marriage. And I think if you ask good questions up front and uncover more information, you'll have a better understanding. It's like people, we should do like those, like what are they, Brig Myers personality tests? Like we should, that should be a thing in multifamily.
Like something else too that like came to my mind just now that stood out is like who was showing up? Because as Chelsea mentioned, like we all kind of met around the same time, which was when virtual was huge. Like who kept showing up to meetups and conferences? And like you saw them over and over and over, right? Because that shows too that they're committed and they're eager and they're taking the time to like learn more about the industry. That speaks volumes, especially when you see them over and over and over and over again, because you're like, okay, cool. Like they're just excited as I am. And that makes committed is a good word too. It makes a big difference.
Anybody else have anything to add to that?
One thing, you know, I just mentioned real quick, I guess, like Jonathan mentioned, like everyone assumes that you found your partners in mastermind stuff, and he didn't stuff. Like actually a lot of mine did come, original partner did come from, you know, mastermind stuff, as Cliff mentioned earlier. And, you know, not as right or wrong, but one reason that worked for me for commercial real estate, as well as some other partnerships, was because I did spend a lot of time with those people, right? Whether it be a weekly accountability groups, whether education type things. And it gave me an opportunity to spend, just like you, Susie, mentioned, like all those virtual events and stuff. That gave me an opportunity to see those people on a very regular basis and have access and kind of, you know, see if our personalities jived and the value that they could bring and things like that. So not that it's right or wrong place, but sometimes that is, you know, why I think the access or the time that you spend with them there. And the final thing I'll mention, I think, is as you're, you know, seeking opportunities, is being able to, or partnerships, is being able to describe what value you bring to a partnership. And I think sometimes if you're in a position where you can describe those, you know, what value you bring, opportunities or potential partnerships can kind of come to you because people will know that they need that. And then you can be the filter, right? And decide like, yes, this is the right one for me, or it's not, versus you kind of like going out and seeking and looking for someone to partner with.
Yeah, I love that, Marcus. And that's what Susie and I have said multiple times, is like, you know, tell, when you're in these virtual meetups or in-person meetups, like tell people what you can do, right? Tell people what you do, what markets you're interested in, you know, size of properties you're interested in, like, and keep telling people that over and over and over again. If you don't say it, then nobody knows, right? Like nobody knows. And then like, you won't get stuff brought to you. But that's a very good point as well. It's like, if everybody knows what you're interested in, that stays, and you're very, very clear with that as well as you're telling everybody, and it stays the same message is going out every single time they see you, then like Marcus says, they'll start bringing stuff to you, and then you could be the filter, which is awesome. So you don't have to go out and seeking out investment opportunities. It just comes to you for sure. All right. So next question I have for everybody is, what do you look for specifically when deciding to partner with some
Cliff?
Yeah, I think we've kind of scratched the surface of it, but I think the sum of what we've kind of talked about, and this is also, you know, my thoughts as well, is looking for people who can help kind of fill the gaps that we all have, right? Whether it's gaps in creativity, skill sets, time schedules. Like Michael, I remember like when we were looking for our first apartment and you were helping do all of the searching and the vetting and looking at rent comps, you were like, hey, it's like 11 p.m. here in the UK. I'm going to go to bed, but can you look at these three apartments? I just haven't had time to like look at what their market rents were. I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to get this done before I go to bed, since I was, you know, back in the States, and sent that to you. So you had it in the morning when you woke up, and just kind of help fill some of those time gaps, right? So I think aspects like that would be helpful. And then as Chelsea mentioned, like having the same, and even you, Michael, too, like having the same long-term goals, right? Like that is definitely key. And I've unfortunately watched other teams that I saw partner up, like kind of fall apart and stop kind of working together, even while having an apartment deal that they had closed on, right? Like you really have to verify that your, you know, long-term goals are the same, and really ensure that you, you know, not only know and like them, but also trust, which takes a lot more touch points, a lot more open discussions about, you know, truly what you value and what they're going to stick with and what they really are committed to and what they want out of their life. Cause that's going to ultimately dictate if everyone can keep working together for the long-term.
Absolutely. Camilla, how you
I
do
love that.
Little nee.
I would say one thing too, I don't know, I just pride in general is communication, like how are people communicating with one another? And another thing that really stands out to me is, you know, how do your partners not just treat, you know, the partnership, but how do they treat other people? How do they treat your property managers, your residents, your contractors, like all the vendors? There's just so many layers beyond that. And most importantly, investors, right? What is their communication style? I think when you communicate, whether it's good news or bad news, everything ends up being okay. As long as we are always in that communication with one another and really just open and honest. And I know that these might sound like basic core values, but when it comes down to it, it's really important.
I completely Absolutely. Agree.
So I'll tell the story of the reasons why, like, I wanted to be a partner with Michael and Susie. Because I was looking around for partnerships, and I had already partnered with a couple of other people on deals, and I already had a couple of deals under my belt. But like Susie was saying, I just kept seeing Michael and Susie everywhere. Every conference, every meetup, you know, all the things, they showed up, and we had a one-on-one call and got to know each other. And then they invited me to be on their podcast. And that was a cool experience. And then, as you know, as I'm looking around for my next deal, I'm like, who do I want to support? Who do I really want to support and help in this industry? And who do I think will do a good job, because they are really on fire and working their butts off to get to where they want to be. And I was like, okay, it's obvious. It's Michael and Susie. Well, it's mostly Susie. I didn't really know Michael then. I know Michael now, but I was just they were just magnetic, right? And I knew that I wanted to, you know, just reach out and say, hey, I really want to partner with you because you've taken an interest in me and you have this way about you of treating people, like Chelsea was saying, you just treat people really well and you're committed to your craft. And I think that was one of the things that I was looking for in a partnership. And then also, you know, values, aligning values. And, you know, we talk about creating impact. And when Susie talked about how they, you know, they're trying to create return on impact, when you guys talked about that, that spoke a lot to me and is, you know, part of who I am as well inside. So that was what I was looking for in a partnership. And so I reached out. I'm like, hey, you guys have a deal next. I want to partner with you. And you're like, oh my gosh, we have one right now. You want to jump in right now? I'm like, oh. It was awesome. And I've never looked back since. Like, this is one of my favorite partnerships that I've ever been in.
I think that means a lot. Thank you so much, Camilla.
Yeah, my heart's just like really like inspired by one another. Kind of like Camilla said, is we see something in each other that wants us to do better. And we have the similar shared values that we know that together we can tackle this. And it really comes down to, again, not just like the core values, but our mission and not only saying what we're doing, but doing what we're saying, which is often can be overlooked too. And I know everybody here are doers, and each and all of you, whether I know you closely or not, I've been inspired by your journey, and we're just going to keep climbing this mountain together.
Love it.
And you too.
Yeah, that's awesome. Anybody else have anything to add to that?
All right. I'll add one very quick last thing. I love, like, you know, Chelsea and Camilla's like comments about like the communication and the impact and all that stuff is awesome. And in general, I just think like looking for integrity in my partners, right? And sometimes that's why, like, spending time, whether it's in a mastermind or other organic stuff, not partnerships, not forming necessarily overnight, but taking time to spend with those people and getting to know them. And understanding, like, you know, what are these people going to do when things aren't going well, right? Or how are they going to handle situations? How are they going to communicate? Are they going to be transparent to our investors and things like that? So, you know, I won't belabor that. That's one thing that just kind of is really important to me to understand before I join a partnership as well.
Yeah.
100%. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. Right. There's no more comments on that. I'm going to actually go off script here. I'm going to flip it and I'm going to say, what are some red flags to look out for in partnerships?
Don't all shoot at once. Okay, I have one. I think that it kind of echoes what Chelsea and Camilla were saying, but like how people communicate. I think that I've been in multiple situations sometimes when people start either complaining about someone else or like criticizing another person that's not in the room. And for me, that's personally really difficult to trust. So just because it goes again with trust and integrity and all of those values that we share. And so, although I was introduced to most of y'all through Jonathan, who is basically our PR person and very involved in the syndication business, I think that every time that I met someone or jumped in a call or something, I always felt very welcome and everyone was being very transparent with how they felt, you know, in hard situations, in good situations. And I feel like that for me speaks a lot about not only their ability to execute on a business plan, be transparent, but also just they're being who they are and I can trust them. I can trust that they're not speaking about anyone. They're not complaining about another partner or different things like that. That just, at least for me, it's such a critical red flag if someone's kind of complaining or talking behind someone's back.
Yeah. Can agree more.
I would say two things. One, the first one that came to my mind was desperation. So, like, you know, once you've done one deal in multifamily, for anyone listening to this that hasn't, you'll get about 80 calls from people either wanting you to be on their deal or that want to be on your deal. And, you know, obviously some of those might be genuine. You have to filter through it, but, you know, some of those are more of a, I guess, kind of a desperation type thing. And, you know, I just think that sometimes that doesn't come from a good heart. And so I would say that's one thing to be very careful of. And then the second thing to me that's super important is ownership. So literally everyone in this business makes mistakes at one time or another. You will always make a mistake, do something wrong, say something wrong, could have done better here. And the ability to take ownership of it and do your best to fix it or pull in people who can fix those mistakes and keep moving forward rather than just blaming someone else or blaming the circumstance is, I think, a really important thing for me personally.
Love that. Yeah. Any other red flags?
Chelsea.
We are in a business that is financially backed. And I like to think that when people have their personal finances and money, and I'm not saying a lot of money to put into deals, but some skin in the game, I think shows that A, you're serious about the decisions you're making. It's very different when you're making decisions with somebody else's money. But I think when you take part in that, it really portrays, okay, I am invested in this for all of these reasons. And if we all went together, we went together. If we lose, we lose together. So I would say trying to understand somebody's obviously, you are going to get their PFS and our SREO as you're going through the acquisition phase, but, do they have liquidity, some capital to put into your deals? And maybe not every deal, but again, that whole skin in the game partner. And I realize that might not be doable on the first deal or second deal, but I'd say moving forward, most of us, if not all of us, have the ability to put money in to some extent into these opportunities, whether it's short term or long term.
Absolutely.
Cliff? Yeah. What I was going to say is kind of the other side of that coin from Chelsea is, I really want to partner with people who take seriously the fact that they're taking money from investors and putting it towards, what we believe to be a good investment, but take that stewardship very, very seriously. And if you have skin in the game, that's another way of showing respect and kind of acknowledging that this is a very serious undertaking, using investors' money to purchase real estate and then operating those assets. And I think along similar lines too, a red flag for me would be if they aren't quite up to speed on the legal, the legalese between 506Bs, 506Cs, and what you can and cannot do when you're raising capital. And even just certain ways like JVs versus syndications have to be structured. Some of the kind of basic stuff that you'll pick up if you do enough research, both reading articles, podcasts, books, the basic education stuff when it comes to capital raising in particular, making sure that they understand that. And then also know that a soft commit is not a guarantee. That's something I've watched a lot of people and all of us have obviously learned along the way, but that too would be a bit of a red flag as well.
Yeah, couldn't agree more with that for sure. One of the things I was thinking about too, what a red flag, and now I'm totally drawing a blank, so it'll come back to me at some point. But anybody else have any red flags to add? Cool. So moving right along here. The next question I have for the panel is, how have partnerships helped you increase your velocity of real estate investing?
I think that's a good one for Camilla to start. I do. What?
Okay. So my story is in 15 years, I got to 20 doors. 5 years later, I'm at 1,500 doors, right? So the velocity is huge in terms of what you can do and how you can partner with people. And it's been pretty amazing. And that represents about 13 different deals that I've been able to be involved in with partners that I never could have done on my own. And I never thought I could be in a position where I could say numbers like that either, because I had heard people say numbers like that when I was first getting into the industry. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. And now I'm sitting here thinking, I could do a lot more than that. I want to keep going with these amazing partners that I have. And so that's, yeah, the velocity partnerships will really take you a lot further than you ever thought you could go yourself.
Love that.
I can tell a little bit of a personal story. In my almost first year of multifamily investing, I come from a background solo entrepreneur. I've owned multiple businesses and always, been in more of a competition than a collaboration mode. I thought I could go at multifamily on my own and that I could put a deal together and, my coach, gave me the stamp of approval and I was going to raise equity and do all these things. And I quickly learned, 9-10 months later, all the people around me were getting deals done. And what were they doing? They were forming partnerships. So a light bulb went off in my head and I say to myself, okay, there's X, Y, and Z reasons. Camilla jumped into a couple of them in the beginning, just the track record, the net worth, all of the things. And until you go through your first acquisition and get to the closing table, you do not realize how much work it is. And I could have never in a million years imagined doing that by myself. It's unbelievable. And I like to say that some of them get easier, but some of them don't.
Yeah.
I can't imagine not having had partners. And I don't know too many people, if any, that don't have partners that have been really successful in this business at this, at any level. So
it just goes to show.
Thanks for sharing. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can jump in. Echo kind of Camilla's story a bit as well. You know, for my first 15 years or so, I think I probably had 15 doors. And well, you know, I wasn't necessarily super intentional in trying to scale necessarily, but that's kind of where I was. And then it's in the past, you know, 2 to 3 at just shy of 500 as a general partner, a few hundred passively and stuff as well. And as Camilla mentioned earlier, and Chelsea just mentioned, you know, kind of have to have those like that, like time, money, and knowledge pieces of the puzzle kind of. And we see this a lot in like single family where, you know, you buy a house and if you wait until you like, you know, have the capital for the next house, it just takes a really long time to get there. Right. And so when you don't necessarily have all those pieces of the puzzle at the same time in your journey, just working together to do that allows you to increase the velocity significantly.
Yeah, I even want to add, and this is just directly passive investing, because Marcus, you made like a light bulb go off. Like even passively investing, it changes, like your velocity grows too, because like if someone has invested in a deal and they did not like what the like sponsorship was doing, it's not talking poorly about them. It's saying like, I wouldn't invest with this individual again. And that's huge, because when we, you know, are asking or not asking, providing opportunities where people have to invest, you know, $25, $50, $75, $100,000, like we would want to know in return if a deal didn't go well or if a sponsorship team wasn't who they say they are on social media, right? So like even being able to talk to your partners, like in whom they have talked to about where to passively invest your money is a big deal as well. But when you're doing it alone and you're not talking to anyone about it, you don't know like the ins and outs or people's experiences whatsoever.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, these lessons apply not only to, you know, people who are interested in active investing, but also passively investing, right? Like, you know, getting to know people, forming those partnerships with a sponsorship team, because we consider our limited partners partners. I mean, it says it in the name, right? Limited partner, right? They're partners. They all come together. Yes, they're silent partners, but they're still partners with us as well.
But yeah, so Marcus also helped a light bulb off for me, Susie. You know, I talk about it in a lot in the episode that I did with you guys, episode 41. But, you know, I got my start really, especially pivoting to commercial real estate, because I was a limited partner in 5 deals and kind of saw like, okay, I vetted a lot of, you know, I probably attended like 35, 40 webinars, looked at more pitch decks than that, like really trying to consider which deals to invest in. But I could only invest in 5 because I formed an LLC with my best friend, Danny. And we were investing in those deals passively together, right? So having his capital as well as mine to kind of go a little bit further for us helped. And that partnership alone just forced me to look at more deals, maybe even look at them closer, because I was like helping, you know, bird dog deals for both him and I, and we would both consider it and talk about it. But that partnership alone just helped me be a better and more serious LP, I guess, by having to vet more deals.
I completely agree with that.
You do. Anybody else need that?
I think that's just limited beliefs. I feel like by being in partnerships, you're able to almost borrow inspiration from the person that you're working with, right? I mean, I can say that from every single person on this podcast. I think that, you know, when there is hard days, you're like, okay, but like, you know, you jump in a meeting, or I talk with Jonathan and he's like, oh, but I talked to Michael and it's been great, you know, and it's just, it's inspirational. And I think that that's something that you cannot get from yourself all the time. So I think that it's something that you need. Even if you have the money, even if you have access to the experience, or it's a distant KP or something like that, I think that having partners and having people around you that will cheer you on when things are hard and will support you, you know, and will be there to rejoice in the good things and the good achievements. I think that success is sweeter when it's in a group. And I think that that's something that I have perceived from being, you know, in a team. And although Jonathan and I also did our own little partnership with single family and short-term rental, like that's fun, but that's really tiring and you're not able to scale very quickly from a money's perspective, time. But I would even say like how big your dreams are, right? Like I feel like when you're with people, it's almost contagious to dream bigger. And I don't know, it just gets me excited just talking about it. So
yeah.
No, I liked that.
So I have 2 quotes. I'm a huge studier of stoicism, of course. I'm sure all of you know that. That's like my religion, if you will. And so, but like, I've been reading a couple of things recently. One thing that Seneca says, right? Like, it was like, you can't change your friends, but you can change your friends, right? So, and then we talk about this, we talk about, you know, and also the other quote there is like, you become the average of the five people that you hang out with, right? The most. So like Paul was saying, you start dreaming bigger and bigger and bigger, right? And being in a room with people who are doing awesome, incredible things like you six on this podcast, you know, provides inspiration. I think Chelsea mentioned that as well, right? So that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, enough about stoicism and my philosophy. But next question I want to kind of get into is, I know we've been kind of giving advice throughout this whole panel, but is there, if somebody is looking to partner with somebody, you know, what is the first step that they need to take in order to find a partner? Yeah, in real estate investing. Or what is one piece of advice you'd give somebody, right?
I would say one thing you can do is, you know, find somebody or a group that are a couple of steps ahead of you, have done a couple of deals before, you know, you can obviously bring something to the table, some resource, whether you find a deal, you have capital, your boots on the ground. Just again, it comes out of like, what is your superpower and what value do you bring to the team? I know we throw that around a lot, the whole like value word, but truthfully, there's always something that is missing. And if you can figure out what that is and how you can provide that to an opportunity, I mean, that's huge. And then you get in and the best way to do this is just to learn through experience. You can read all the books and go through the coaching programs and the podcast, but until you through your first acquisition, that's where the rubber hits the road, for the lack of better terms.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for me, when coming into partnerships and even raising capital, the first thing was, these people that are investing are special to me and I need to protect them. And so if I'm coming into this marriage with partners and they are also having a say on how to execute the business plan, et cetera, I want to make sure that they also know what they're doing and that they're trustworthy. And so I think that nowadays with social media and websites, I'm not going to say anyone, but a lot of people are able to have amazing social media likes and reviews and things, and, you know, which is really great. But I will challenge you, as you're looking for partnerships, to really dig in into who are these people? What is their track record? Even if they're two steps ahead, really, what were their careers before? What do people that know them say about them and say about their integrity and hard work and work ethic and different things like that? Because it's easy to see a flashy person or someone, and, you know, and try to want to jump in, and then even them letting you jump in into a partnership with them, but you not really knowing them and knowing their quality of work that they can deliver. So I'll just, you know, be cautious, but also just be actively looking and protect your investors if you're raising capital for someone else.
Yeah, I love that, Paula. Like, you know, we talk a lot to our passive investors and stuff about the know, like, and trust, and you're spending time to like take time to get to know them. And I think that's very applicable to like active partners and stuff as well, right? Like I talk about like the time, money, and knowledge. And it can be easy, like, oh, I can fill one of those gaps. But just because you can fill one of those gaps doesn't, or someone else can fill one for you, doesn't necessarily mean it's the right partnership. So taking that time to getting to know them and stuff. And one more thing I'll kind of add on there from a little bit different perspective is, you know, like, I like to find people that like I enjoy spending time with. And so like when we were still in England and stuff, you know, Michael and Susie, you know, we went to junior league events in London. We went up to the Open up in Scotland, like, you know, my wife and I spent time like with you all and stuff. And like, I want to partner with people that I want to be around with. And while in some cases we all live in different geographic areas, it's hard for us to, you know, get together and do that kind of stuff on a regular basis. Sometimes we do spend more time in the Zoom area, you know, but like, I want to be with like people when we are together in person, like I want to do that and enjoy spending the time with them.
Absolutely.
So one of my rules for partnering is I need to know you for at least 6 months, preferably a year, before I decide to partner with you. It's like Jonathan said, once you have had some success and got a couple of deals, you're going to get calls all the time. And I get calls a lot saying, hey, can you jump in and help us on this deal? Someone referred me to you, you know, and I've said to many people, I said, you know, I like the deal. I like what you're doing. I like, you know, what you have. I said, but unfortunately, I haven't known you long enough to jump in on your deal. So let me follow your journey for a while. Add me to your investor newsletters. Add me to any communication that you send out. I want to see what you do before I jump in. And the reason I do that now is because I made mistakes in the beginning, right? With the first partners that I joined with, I made that mistake of not knowing how they communicated with their partners and how things went. And so, of course, things did not go well. And so that was important to me. But also, I think, Michael, your original question was, you know, what's our advice to someone who's just maybe just starting out and, you know, wanting to find a partner? I think step one, know yourself, know what you can bring to a partnership and how you can help other people. And then step two is you've got to get out there and start, you know, networking. I hate the word networking. It gives me the heebie-jeebies sometimes, but it's fine. But get out there and get to know other people. Like literally, I give advice that like just Google multifamily meetup in your area and go live to those and get to know the people who are there. That's how I found my first passive investment. Is I just showed up at some multifamily meetup. And granted, it was not like very sophisticated in who I chose to invest with at that time, but that's okay because it's going well and it's fine. And it's not, you know, maybe I could have found an even better one, but I don't believe in holding out for the best. I believe in taking steps and learning along the way, and eventually you will become the best at what you're doing. So that's my advice.
One thing I want to add to what Camilla said, right? Because like it can be really hard for people to want to show up to those networking events, one in person or two virtually, right? Like Michael and I have the great story where like when we were going to meet Marcus for the first time virtually, we thought we were going to die. We almost canceled. But even now, Michael and I attended a meetup here locally in Dayton, and like we're about to walk in the door and Michael's like, do we have to go? I'm like, yeah. You know, so like it doesn't necessarily get easier is what I'm trying to say. Like you may always be nervous and that's always okay, right? Because like I'm always nervous. I don't know, because I have to introduce myself again and that's hard. And it could get easier for you, but it could also not. And that's both are perfect answers of why you should go to a real estate meetup and just virtually or in person, like to just talk to people to learn more. Because really, what I've gotten all out of it is just like confidence within myself, even because it's cool, right? When you're like, oh my gosh, I went, I thought I was going to die, but I knew what they were talking about in the room, right? So then that gives you just like that little 1% to want to maybe attend virtually or in person again, because you're like, okay, like you get that little dopamine hit of like, I do know what I'm talking about, or I do know, or I understand what I'm listening to. And that's really cool.
Sure. All right. Anybody else before we move on? I have one final question for everybody before we wrap up the podcast. You guys want to add to that? Cool. All right. So last question I have for the panel is, how has real estate investing impacted yourself or your family? Since we love impact here on this podcast, of course, we had to end it with a question about impact. So who would like to field that question?
I'm happy to jump in and kick off. And the list could be very long, but I'll try to keep it short. But you know, I mean, just briefly, like, you know, it allowed me to walk away from my W-2 this past year without looking for another one. You know, it took years to kind of build that up, but it allowed me, based on the nature of my military job for a number of years, I couldn't really talk to my kids or tell them a lot about what I did, right? Real estate allows me to kind of talk to them, to show them a physical property, to show them like, hey, we're providing a home for these people, or to show them like the staff that we employ. And actually have a conversation about like, this is the impact, you know, that we think that as I exited the military, you know, I've talked to Michael and Susie about this before, like 21 years in, you're used to having this, like this purpose and this mission, like given to you. And real estate for me, as I kind of mentioned before, like I love to educate others, and that kind of like feeds in with like educating and providing these opportunities to my friends, my families, my colleagues from the past 20 years and the impact that we can have for the residents. And, you know, finally, you know, as I kind of move out of the military and stuff, just the flexibility that it allows for me to do that from anywhere geographically and kind of take it with me to be present and show up at school events for my children or to travel with them or whatever. So very quick synopsis, but it has a massive impact in a lot of different ways.
I would say, I mean, like Marcus, this could be an all night answer, right? But two things I would highlight. One, there's kind of the obvious, which is the financial component of it. So, you know, I worked as an engineer. I had a great job, worked very hard, did all the things that you're told to do growing up, had my 401k, got my company match. And it's not an exaggeration at all to say that real estate investing the last 4 or 5 years has changed like our financial trajectory forever, like further than any new job or any promotion would ever do in the corporate world. And so, you know, from like Marcus already mentioned, that component alone gives you tremendous opportunity to do things with your family. But my favorite part of it is actually the significance that you can have in the lives of other people. So when I worked as an engineer, once again, there was kind of this always, well, I guess I'm doing good for the world because I'm working on this part, which someone else will put on an aircraft, which then someone in the military will use to save lives. And that's great, you know? And that really is a contribution to the world. It's not made up. But for me, it was too intangible. And now I get to be a part of a business where I pull in investors who have no other way to invest in quality investments like what we provide, and literally go hand them a distribution check and like, congratulations, like you found the answer to investing and getting good returns. And like some of those conversations have just been like, I think some of like the sweetest moments in my life to be able to give back to other people who I really care about, which I care a lot about all my investors. So those are two things I would highlight.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing. Yeah.
I would say in addition to all the amazing things said here that we all very similarly share, is personally one thing that's touched me much more than I thought it would be for the tenants, like in our on-site staff, and how when really great owners and operators like ourselves pay attention to the details and really care about the people who not only work at your property, but live at your property, it's incredible to go into some of these apartments that are less than desirable and to create a change on a scale that, like Jonathan said, you might not have done in your W-2 job. For me, it was designing $10, $15 million homes. And now I'm designing partner buildings for what are considered more like a workforce housing solution that we're working on together. And it has turned into a greater why of mine. And it wasn't the why I started with, but it's the why that will take me and the investors and partners to a bigger and better place when we go back to, at the end of the day, like, what's this really about, and creating change on a, you know, an impact, as Michael and Susie say, just on a larger scale. I feel really good about it. And I know everybody else here feels really good about what we're doing.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that piece for sure. That's really, you know, going out and walking the properties and then seeing in person as well, like meeting the residents and then seeing, you know, okay, let's fix that. You know, like make things more pleasant for them. And it's just like, if I lived here, how would I want it, right? So it's really cool to be able to do that and make that impact for sure.
Yeah.
So one of the, I'll jump in, the impact that is most important for me right now is the impact that of example. So there's a lot of people who say, oh yeah, go after your dreams, go get them. But I think if you're actively working to get your dreams, that speaks a lot louder than just all the fluff out there. And I think just the story and letting people around you see what it's like to go from nothing to working really hard to try and get to where you want to be, I think that paves a really amazing path for others to follow. And so one of the things that I love about this is the ability that I have to reach my hand back and, you know, just be a couple steps ahead of people and help them see where they can go. Because that was one of the things that I needed when I, you know, because I had all these goals and hopes and dreams, but I couldn't see myself getting there until I found people who were doing what I wanted to do. And then I could really walk in their footsteps. And this is important for me, not only for, you know, lots of people around me, but for my children, especially. So my five children, I want to make sure that they know that their mother is willing to go after it and do what it takes to achieve her dreams, so that they can see a path ahead of them to be able to achieve their dreams, whatever their dreams may be. It may not be real estate, right? But whatever their dreams may be, they need to know that they can walk that path.
I love that.
All right.
I have something. Okay. Is that okay?
Yeah,
okay, sure. Cool. So I have a story because, like, we don't, like, when I was in, you know, my traditional W-2, and I feel like other people may feel this as well, it is not as collaborative because at all times you really are competing next to the people next to you, whether you kind of know it or not, right? Because like
if a company decides to have a layoff, you don't know if they've decided if you're the winner or not, no matter what role you're really in, you know, but like with real estate investing, it's so collaborative and everyone or most people wants everybody else to learn. But like that goes in every direction, right? Like Mella mentioned her family, Chelsea mentioned her residents. Like, although they might not directly feel it all the time, like it's happening. And a story that goes with that is that specifically one of our property managers, because, you know, I just love her and she decided to Facebook creep on me, which is totally fine. And she's like, I want to like do what you do one day. Like, I don't get it. And so I went out of my way, right? And like got her real estate investing books. And then I went to a conference and gave her my shirt. It was like invest her so that she could feel like she was an investor before she had even started. And so that she could, you know that somebody back there was supporting her because she didn't know if the people around her were or not. And now she's at the point where she has bought her first rental property. And like that to me is amazing within itself, right? Like we don't realize who we're going to impact because they don't always share it. But from what I've experienced, like we are impacting lots of people. We have the ability to educate and want to watch people grow. We have the ability to want to share our own resources, knowing that they can use our resources their own way. And like, we're not going to get stabbed in the back and potentially, you know, cut out of a deal for it. That's just not how it works. So it's like cool to see like the gentle ripple of it all. Cause like you are touching so many people, whether it's active or passive or your property management staff or the residents or even the vendors. It's just, I think it's real cool.
It is cool for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you, Marcus. All right. So we are approaching 1 hour. I mean, so I want to end this now, but before we end this podcast, I want to say thank you all for joining us. Like I said at the beginning, we could not be at where we are now at podcast episode 100 or where we are now with the properties that we have acquired so far without all of you. And we really do appreciate each and every one of you. So thank you so much again. But before we end, would you mind, I'm going to go around the horn one more time and just share with our Adventures family how they can maybe find out more about you or get in contact with you if they want to reach out to you. So Chelsea, we'll begin with you. And again, if you want to learn more about Chelsea, go to episode 44, but go ahead, Chelsea.
Absolutely. So on Facebook, friend me, message me, Chelsea Garber. You can always shoot me an email, chelsea@ascend2toequity.com.
Perfect. And again, we'll have all this in the show notes as well, so you don't have to write everything down. Marcus. And Marcus is on episode 7 and 98, so you'll learn more about him as well.
Awesome. Thanks again for having us tonight, guys. And you can go to alonglegacy.com. If you want to shoot me an email, all my social, or set up a time to chat, it's all on alonglegacy.com.
Thank you so much. All right. Camilla was on episode 6. And so learn more about her, go to episode 6, but she'll share her information now as well.
Yes, please connect with me. LinkedIn is my favorite social platform. So connect with me there. I'm pretty sure I'm the only Camilla Jeffs out there, but we'll, you know, maybe not. Or you can go to my website, SETIStreamInvestments.com. Be so happy to talk to any of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Cliff Luber. Cliff was on episode 41, so you'll learn more about him. Go to that episode. But Cliff, would you mind sharing with our Adventures family how to get a hold of you?
Yeah, totally. Thin works for me as well. Cliff Luber, Cliff with one F. Otherwise, you might find my dad. He goes by Cliff with two Fs. And then my website is upwardcapital.us. And you can email me, cliff with one F@upwardcapital.us as well.
Thank you so much, Cliff. I do have a question. Is your son going to be Cliff with no Fs?
Yeah. We'll figure that out across that bridge when we come to it. Great question. My dad was pretty upset I went by one F, but that's like cutting off my art full name, which is Clifton with one F. So I thought it made a lot of sense. But that's as rebellious as I got in college, so you shouldn't.
I love it.
So, thanks, Cliff. Jonathan and Paula, again, they were on episode 43, so check out that episode and learn more about their short-term rentals and their investing journey as well. Would you mind sharing with our Ventures family how to get a hold of you?
Yeah, absolutely. So our multifamily company is called Apogee Capital. So you can check out our website, apogeemfc, like multifamilycapital.com, or I'm also extremely active on LinkedIn. So send me a message there.
Cool. Well, thank you so much. And when you reach out to all these lovely guests on LinkedIn or however, please do mention that you heard them on the Adventures of Real Estate Investor podcast. And that is the golden ticket where they will actually respond to you. Otherwise, good luck. Just kidding. They're very, very open as you learned throughout this podcast, sharing resources and ideas, and more than happy to hop on a call with anybody. So please reach out to them. All of their information will be in the show notes as well. And again, thank you all for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you all on the panel, and we're excited to continue to do more deals with you in the future in 2023 and beyond. So thank you so much for your time and attention. And until next time, explore more, adventure awaits.
Thank you so much for listening. Before you start your next adventure of the day, please take a moment to reflect on the impact that you want to make. All of our efforts combined are what make the monumental impacts. We can't do it without you.
Also, if you enjoyed the episode, please head over to iTunes and leave us an honest review with one of the great insights you received from the show today. And if you believe a friend, family member, or colleague would find great value in listening, please share our podcast with them. As always, your support means the world to us.
Until next time, explore more. Adventure awaits. Woo!